forever. Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to the Literati Podcast, another one of the meaningless distractions you fill your time with until you're eventually dead forever.
And we couldn't be more happy to have you, dear listeners. You wasting your precious time listening to us gives our pointless lives meaning somehow.
But let's not waste any more time thinking about how we could better spend what little time we have on this earth before the inevitable release of death comes for us all.
Instead, let's talk about something meaningful, like the craft of writing. Writing and expressing ourselves and our ideas through words is vital to the human experience.
Writing is how we share the deep truths of the human condition. It's also how we can tell people on the internet which restaurants have shitty service when we didn't get our meatball hoagie as quickly as we would have liked at Tony Bologna's Pizza and Sub Shop.
So true, Colin. Writing is how we pass down stories from generation to generation. And writing is also how we spew hate speech without consequence in the comments of YouTube videos.
Point is, the written word is powerful, and it's empowering to write even if no one is reading.
And if you're anything like Colin and I, no one is.
That's right. No one is reading our work. And most likely, no one is listening to us either.
We're kind of like two ghosts, just wandering the earth.
So why should you take writing advice from two ghosts that no one cares are dead?
Great question, Colin. Well, I received my creative writing MFA from The Dump. My professor was Dirty Jerry, who lives at The Dump, and I was the only one enrolled in the program, so it was a great teacher-to-student ratio, a lot of individual one-to-one attention. And when I say got my MFA degree, what I meant was I crawled through The Dump until I found a degree someone else had thrown away, and now it's mine.
Oh, that's nice. As long as you have it framed on your wall, it's all that matters.
It's still in The Dump.
Okay. And I have written over 30 emails to my landlord asking him to deal with the mice in my building. Frankly, it's getting out of control.
Any response yet?
None.
Huh.
But I'm going to keep writing. Because again, it's important to write even if no one's reading.
You got to get those morning pages out.
Exactly.
Even if it's just crafting a letter electronically to your landlord, begging them to kill the mice that are crawling over you and your roommates while you sleep.
I want my apartment back.
And you just got to express yourself until you get it. So now that you know we're qualified to talk to you about writing, let's jump right in with our writing tip of the day.
Write what you know. That's right. Every good creative writing professor will tell you to write what you know. So Michael and I are going to do just that.
First, we'll just jot down the stuff that the two of us know.
Yeah, and then we'll just see what we have and spin it into an amazing story. So why don't we take turns? Michael, what's something that you know?
Okay, so something from my experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I know that my dad hates it when I tell him that I love him.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, we can try to make that into a story.
I don't like to talk about that.
Oh, okay, great.
Colin, what's something you know?
Oh, well, I know that no matter how much my doctors tell me to, I won't stop drinking. So
that could be a good short story.
Yeah, like sort of like a Bukowski sort of thing, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, are you in a cool like a weird section of society, like a dock worker like Bukowski, or didn't he work at factories and stuff?
No, I am part of a yacht club, so there's a dock there.
You're part of a yacht club?
I hang out, like, I work at a yacht club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Work at a yacht club?
Yeah, like, I'm part of the wait staff.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Front of house, or?
Oh, God, no. No, they wouldn't have me front of house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
You know what? I don't think it's gonna turn into what I want. What's something else you know?
Okay. I know that being violently allergic to dairy doesn't mean I'll stop eating ice cream. It just means the people around me will suffer.
Okay.
That's kind of like, I could see that as a anti-hero.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, like sort of like
I know last episode we talked about how we don't like anti-heroes, but I'm willing to ignore my own advice if it helps me write a good story.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, they're very popular, so yeah. You know, you could give it a shot.
And it's sort of like an addiction.
Yeah, ice cream, sugar. Yeah. So yeah, you're kind of, you know, you're
kind
fighting
like
against
a Bukowski
evil.
Figure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like are you part of like a weird subsection of society?
Well, now that you bring it up, I do work for a band called Yacht.
Oh, okay.
They're like an indie electronica dance kind of band. And well, I don't work for them as much as I go to their shows and I try to get on stage.
Okay. So yeah, there could be something there. You could, I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You could, you know, maybe like the bouncer at the concert says, hey, you can't bring that ice cream in here.
And I'm like, I'm already two licks in and I'm not returning it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, there might be something there.
See, this is what happens when you take real life experiences. It's such a deep well to draw from.
Take what you know, turn it into a story.
What about you, Colin? You got anything else that
you know? Yeah, I have some other things that I know. I know that for the past 2.5 months, every time I cough, a little bit of blood comes up. And I still haven't seen a doctor because I'm hoping it just sorts itself out.
I like that.
Yeah, right? Like, that could be a...
That feels like inciting incident.
Yeah. You know, like a blood cough.
Like, is that the name of the book?
That's the name of the book.
Blood Cough. That actually sounds like a 1980s action movie.
Oh, yeah. It could be a movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, gosh, it would be great. Because the only reason we write books is that hopefully we'll someday have somebody turn it into a movie, Michael Crichton style.
Oh, yeah. And I could see, like, Bruce Willis.
Oh, coughing up blood.
Yeah. And also, it will be the name of the main character, too.
Yeah.
Be like, Blood Cough, You get out of here. You get out of town, Blood Cough.
And it's like, and then Bruce Willis is like, not till I've coughed on every single kid at this birthday party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's also an anti-hero.
Yep.
He's coughing blood on kids.
Yeah, I love that. I think you should get right into tonight.
Michael, do you know anything else?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know that I'm no longer allowed in Rhode Island because I gave the governor a purple nurple. So I have to, when I'm doing road trips, I have to take the long way. I have to go all the way around Rhode Island, which sucks because it's, you know, such a big state.
I do remember that because we had we tried to go to Block Island off the island of Rhode Island.
Exactly.
And you swam there because you said I can't go the normal route.
I had to swim the long way. I had to go from Connecticut, swim out around.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just because I really don't respond well to authority.
Exactly. So. And you are from Rhode Island or you just are going around giving purple nurples to the mayors of wherever you can
find
them?
Trying to do all 50 states.
Okay, cool.
Like how Sufjan
Stevens sort of thing. That's very cool. That's cool.
What about you, Colin? And what do you think? You know, like 3 or 4 more things? Maybe 3 feels like...
Yeah, maybe we know 3 more things.
Yeah, 3 more feels good.
Honestly, it's about as much room as my brain has room for.
Yeah. And Colin, can I just push you?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these are like good little moments, but I'd say really go... deep. Like, what is something you know as a human? What is something you've lived in and something that's changed you where you're like, this is an essential truth about myself?
Right. Like, something that, like, a real, like, could be like the philosophy of a character.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Really sustain for a whole novel.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Well, I know that I've gotten scammed into giving my credit card info and social security number to one of those automated spam calls again. Third time this year. Is that kind of like what you were talking about?
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's definitely feels a lot deeper. I
do
feel like I have a good sense of who you are and what kind of, I guess, problems are in your head.
Yeah. See, I think I have the opposite
problem.
Could you
keep tricked?
Yeah. It's really easy to trick me. And the thing is, I think I have the opposite problem to you where you don't respond well to authority.
Yeah.
I respond too well to anyone I assume has authority.
The minute somebody calls you and asks for something,
says,
you're like,
I need your social security number. I'm like, yeah, here you go.
Can I mail you cash?
Yeah. So, Michael, like, do you have something that's just like, if you were to push yourself, like, as deep as you can go?
Yeah. Okay, something like I know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that my vote does not matter. That's something I just feel.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I've never done it. And I never will.
So, okay. And then...
And I can't be convinced that it does.
Okay, and can you envision this being in a story somehow?
Nope.
So this could just be one of those things, like, you know how, like, they say, like, the character, like, 90%, it's like an iceberg, like, 90% is below the surface. You can't see it. So this is just one of those things that your character might also know, but
it's like
it
an
doesn't
iceberg
come up.
That flipped upside down, I think. 90% is sticking right up. It's just like, hey, my vote fucking sucks. Doesn't matter. And therefore, I'm throwing it away. And then the 10% that's underneath is probably those dairy reactions that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
I haven't been diagnosed as lactose intolerant. Just whenever I have dairy, bad stuff happens.
like things go wrong in your life sort of thing. Like
kind of. Like, it's more of just like a stomach reaction that you wouldn't like and you don't want to be around. And I honestly, Colin, I don't want to say more than that.
Okay.
What about you? One more thing?
Yeah, sure. Well, I know that I'm human garbage who isn't worthy of love and deserves to die alone.
Well, we all know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that seems like more of an about the author.
Okay.
Than like maybe the okay, whole yeah. story.
But that's also still very helpful because I was sort of like, for a long time, my about the author was just Colin O'Brien is, and then it's just ... That's it.
Yeah.
Or like, was, and then it's like a little honestly, note says though, like, we'll come back to.
Then, yeah, we'll circle back on this. That actually got you a lot of acclaim because people were like, who is this guy? He's so mysterious.
Yeah. And then they found out. Yeah, and then they found out some of this other stuff I've already talked about on me, and they're just like, he's not that interesting.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if I had to do one more last thing that I know, I know that if I'm on vacation and I buy a piece of regional clothing, like a straw beach hat or a knit parka, the minute the vacation is over, I will cease to wear that clothing ever again. Even though I bought it thinking, this is who I am now. And that's...
And those are just some of the things that we know about us. I kind of feel like the stuff that we know sucks.
Yeah. Do you think that's because we have no sense of self-esteem or internal worth?
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe it's just like you look at a big building and you say, hey, that's a big building. It's obvious. That's what's there. We're shitty people who can't eat that much dairy, and we're kind of dumb. And it's just like, hey, that's what's there.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Anyway, we're happy to jump into the podcast. We're so happy to have you all with us, and we're so happy to have our guest with us today.
I have to say, I have been reading this person's work since I was a kid, from the graphic novel Sandman to the hit Terry Pratchett crossover Good Omens. I'm so excited to have this author, who I think what they know could fill a book or two, and it probably has.
Yeah, this is definitely an author who knows stuff. And is writing about it.
Please welcome to the podcast, Neil Gaiman.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
The absolute pleasure to have you here with us.
I hate to do this.
Uh-oh.
But I'm not that Neil Gaiman.
What?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, you're the one who wrote all the sci-fi fantasy books.
No, not me.
Amazon series made out of one of yours.
No, he's a much older British man, and I am not that.
Okay.
He's married to British. Amanda. No, no. Could you not tell?
He's married to the spooky Amanda Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not?
I wish, but no.
I mean, I know that in the UK and England, there's a lot of different regions, a lot of accents. Yeah. I thought just this was
maybe you were from Little America.
No, I grew up in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in which part of England, Portland, Oregon?
No,
that's
America.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So what I guess I
think
I was
you
confused.
Were confused. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say.
My name is similar.
Though it is.
Are we pronouncing it right?
You are, yes.
Neil Gaiman.
It is spelled differently.
So you are Neil Gaiman, you're just not that Neil Gaiman.
Yes, okay. I am a different Neil Gaiman. Yeah.
How was your name spelled?
First Neil, just like any other, K-N-E-E-L.
You say just like any other.
Like the verb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mean like any other name.
No, I mean
name.
Like, it's a name. It is my name.
Oh, yeah, but it's not like just like any other name.
It's Neil.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But like the action to kneel when you take a knee.
And a name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why,
right?
I'm harping on this.
What's your name? You capitalize the first letter and there it is.
Yeah. Okay. No, okay. Yeah.
If
I don't know why I'm harping on this.
I feel like you should know this.
Yeah. No, then, makes sense.
Gaiman, same as Neil Gaiman.
It is hyphenated in the middle. So G-A-Y hyphen M-A-N. Gaiman.
Okay. So, I don't know. I wasn't reading the emails that closely.
No, because it's very clear.
I also get,
my email is imnotthatneilgaiman@gmail.com.
Yeah, I thought it was like not so Raven, like sort of thing. Like I'm not.
She is Raven.
Yeah. So I thought it was like I'm not that Neil Gaiman, like not so Raven.
No,
so.
I am Neil Gaiman, just not that Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I think the problem for me is I have my emails printed out and read to me by my wait staff.
That is the problem.
And so I can't hear the difference because I'm not seeing it written.
Very
down.
Fair. I do end every email with, just in case you're wondering, I'm not the British Neil Gaiman.
Well, another problem is that I tend
to
fall
asleep.
That's your
electronic signature sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send from my iPhone, just so you know, I'm not that British author Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I tend to fall asleep about 3/4 of the way through an email that I'm being read, because there's something about my butler's voice that just knocks me out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm. My butler is, what's that little guy's name?
I don't know.
Who's the guy who voiced the...
Alan Cumming in the Flintstones movie?
No, I wish. The guy who did the voice of
Gerard
the
Butler?
Parrot? No, the other guy. The voice of the parrot in the
Iago?
Aladdin? Yeah, who's that?
Oh.
Gilbert Gottfried?
Yes, okay, so let me take this all over again.
No. I think we get it.
That little guy. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. You can't make us work this hard for a reference. And then.
So, yeah, my butler is Gilbert Gottfried. So, I'm about halfway
and
through.
And his voice puts you to sleep?
Something about it just hits me. Boom. Eyes closed.
Is he expensive?
He owes me a life debt.
Oh.
So I don't pay.
What happened there?
Well, he was in medical school.
Oh, yeah.
Training to be a doctor.
I heard about that.
And I was what's called a volunteer cadaver. And he messed up my body so bad.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, he took stuff out, he put stuff in, and he didn't wash his hands. So I was sick. And also, he never finished sewing up my stomach. So it's like if I was to lift up my shirt, you'd see right in.
Oh.
It does your stomach when I because we've gone to the beach before. It looks like one of those old timey they
workout,
like roll up
yeah.
like the they're like the not cummerbund but they like they like the in cartoons yeah. when the cartoon gets scared.
Oh, the opera man.
Yeah, it like rolls up.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Adam Sandler's Opera Man.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, we don't have the rights to Adam
no.
Sandler's
I'm
Opera
I'm
Man.
I'm so glad that you are born in this time.
Yeah.
Just because of the body positivity movement.
It's great. I've really gotten a lot of people to rally around me until they get close to me, and then they do not want to be around me.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about me and the medical mishaps that have led Gilbert Gottfried to be my manservant. I guess we should just end the podcast since you're not that Neil Gaiman and you're not an author.
Well, that's quite rude. I want to say that's rude.
Oh.
I am an author. I wouldn't show up here.
Oh, okay.
If I wasn't
a writer,
I wouldn't show up to Literati.
Oh, okay. Well,
the podcast.
Oh, if that works out great then.
Yeah.
Okay. If you
to be fair, I didn't start as an author, but because mix-ups like this happened so often, I have published 13 novels.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Wow.
Quick follow-up question, and please, no offense, are they good?
No.
Okay. Thank you for being honest. I feel a lot more comfortable, and now I'm eager to hear more about your writing, because Colin and I, we always have these good authors on, and it's so intimidating.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you, it's not good, but people buy it because they're confused by the name.
Okay.
It's mostly people who have their butlers read them. What's trending on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're a big population. We're a big community and we're growing. So what do you have to read for us today?
Wonderful. I do have a selection from my new batch of essays.
Wow.
Oh, great.
Essays. What are those?
They are short form because I can't think longer than 15 pages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have the same problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great because essays, you can write something personal. You never have to get too personal.
Right.
And you never have to complete a thought. You never, you know, because if you leave it open-ended, people think that you're being mysterious and letting them draw their own conclusions.
Oh, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
But generally, I just forget to finish it, and I'm very bad at proofreading.
Sure. Proofreading's the worst, because the minute I'm done getting something down onto the page, the last thing I want to do is look at it ever again.
Please. Never again. Also, anytime I get a foreword from an editor of money, you know, get a bunch of money up top.
I love when that happens.
Then, yeah, it's the best. And then they realize I'm not the real Neil Gaiman. And then they never look at my work and they just gets published.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten any of the actual Neil Gaiman's money advances? Like, have you ever?
I have gotten three of his checks.
That's great.
But they were all... they were all pretty small.
Okay.
Just because
like residuals?
He was an extra in a couple of episodes of Younger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or not an extra, but he had an under
the
five.
Hillary
Yeah. Early on. Uh-huh. So now they're around $2.
Okay.
Each residual check.
That's still, I mean, that's not nothing.
I mean, I'm
that's
saving
them
up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My seltzers are more expensive than that, but
I'm
bougie.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I would love to hear the bubbles in your words as much as the bubbles in your seltzer. You know what I mean?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I guess what I'm thinking is there's an effervescent quality to seltzer, and I wonder if there's
seltzer. Mm. It's very flat. That's why it's so expensive. It's that they put the bubbles in, and then they spend extra money taking them all out.
Okay, you have debubbled seltzer. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
So it's more like, it's like fancy. There's a hint of... There used to be a bubble, bubble situation going on.
Okay. It's a nostalgic bubble.
Oh. I love that. You know, I drink unfermented wine.
I don't understand.
It's Welch's grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And let's just say I've drank enough to ruin some marriages.
I hope your mouth has no cold sores on it, because that would sting.
I wish so bad. Well, the stage and floor is yours, m'lady.
Please don't call me that.
My doff my cap to thee.
Stop it. All right. Well, this book of essays, it's called American Gods. And it is...
There is a Neil Gaiman book named American
Gods.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay. Continue. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead.
We sat on the couch and watched Edward Scissorhands. His first time, mine, I don't know, 107th? I loved it. Since I was a child, the colors, the soundtrack, Vincent Price. Even at a young age, I always found it extremely erotic. Kathy Bates' giant hair, the topiaries. Anthony Michael Hall as a bully falling to his death. We were teenagers. Virgins on that couch in the dark, save for the glow of his shitty old TV. Of course, when we watched movies together alone, we never watched them. We had dry humped all the way through Guys and Dolls. We slurped a handy that lasted most of Robin Hood Men in Tights. We were horny, and he had his own TV and neglectful parents. It's probably why I dated him. But Edward Scissorhands, that was different. Sacred. I made him pay strict attention. I built a pillow fort between us so I wouldn't feel the heat from his body. But I could still smell him. A combo of spicy, sweet deodorant and straight-up dirt. Now when I smell teenage boy, it's grossed. Grossed? Grossed. Musty and repellent. It's gross. But then it had me turn straight into Edward Oil Pussy. When it finished, we watched the credits in silence. I liked it, he said. I didn't speak. It was really good. Can I move the pillow now? Without a word, I stood up and went to my backpack. I said I liked it. Shh. I held up my fingers. Don't ruin this. And from my backpack, I pulled 10 pairs of scissors, various sizes and sharpnesses, and a brand new roll of duct tape. Arms up. And as fast as a mama bird throws up berries to feed her young, he threw his hands up in the air. His eyes were so excited, like a puppy whose owner just walked in the door. I threaded his fingers through various handles and started wrapping them thoroughly, one hand, then the other. I pressed my lips against his, messed up his hair. I felt his dick stiffen. I whispered, "Hold me." And he, very carefully, wrapped me in his long, string bean man arms and lifted his hips to mine. I rubbed hard. We were both wearing corduroys. The friction was magnificent. I came fast, like I was late for a birthday party. But the orgasm helped me make a decision. I looked him in the eye and started unbuttoning his pants. He knew I meant business. "Do you have a condom?" I asked, knowing the answer was yes. He had been carrying them for months. He nodded. "In my JanSport." I went to it, discarding my underwear along the way from under my skirt. I took one out. I rolled it onto his penis and accidentally put it on the wrong way, so I had to go get another one. "Just turn it inside out," he said. "I'm not getting pregnant and giving birth to your scissor-hand babies," I said very sexily. He smiled. His braces shone, very wet. He stood up to meet me where I was standing under his Scarface poster. I hadn't taken his pants off fully yet, and as he took a step, he got off balance, pitching forward. His scissor hands gleamed as bright as his braces, but erratic and ferocious. He caught his balance, and we both laughed with relief. He gently reached down to free his legs, slowly one leg, then the other. Now he could walk freely, and as he approached me with the promise of a virginity-ending triumph right ahead, his arms swung a little too recklessly. The blades of my mother's fabric shears caught his scrotum, giving a clean slice north. His left testicle, which always hung a little lower than the right, sprung free, and as showers of blood it unraveled like a ball of yarn a cat might chase. His cries of pain and disbelief were drowned out by Danny Elfman's epic score as I turned up the volume of the credits. I came again. Thank you so much.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. That was horrifying towards the end.
Oh, it was romantic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of mixed feelings are what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. I definitely did feel a little bit of that terror, but also I felt a little naughty.
Ooh,
yeah,
good.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. And you know, Edward Scissorhands is a great, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Any legal implications from mentioning this Tim Burton work?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. If I have to change it, I will. Edward Scorsese-horns.
Scorsese-horns?
Yeah. But okay. It's hard because I don't know what body part I would have taped the scissors to because I don't know what horns. Oh, maybe it's horns. You know, figured it out.
Two little horns coming out of
horns.
The top of
I figured
his...
it out. And then he tries to give himself a blowjob and then he slices his scrotum and his testicle comes flying
Ooh.
Out.
Yikes.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
That horror again.
I gotta ask, how come you named this book American Gods?
Mm. There's no other title that fit.
Okay.
Not a single thing.
I feel like we could each come up with 3 alternate titles right now.
Each of us?
Yeah.
Or at least
Scrotum
one.
Slicer?
Yep.
That'd be my first one.
Well, the whole...
Sex on the Couch?
Mm-hmm.
Watching Edward Scissorhands, Bad Stuff Happens?
Huh.
A Night to Remember?
Hmm. I think I didn't get to this part.
Okay.
But there is a part...
You did say the end at the end, so I assumed that was the end.
Oh, no, I was the end of my reading.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
No. I did not mention the part where What's the guy? I want you. The guy on the poster?
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam is the god of this world.
Oh.
He's the one. He's the one truly exciting. In the end, spoiler alert, slices everybody's scrotum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. This is like, now it's starting to make sense.
Kind of a shared cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. You're getting all mm-hmm. these different characters.
And there's two of them. There's two Uncle Sams. That's why it's American Gods.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
This is a very political.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're just using Uncle Sam because people know him?
Yeah.
Okay, no implications. We shouldn't read into Uncle Sam slicing open
No,
the
it's not a metaphor. It's just, I was very stoned, and I was like, who would I jerk off to right now? And he's the first one that came to my mind.
Well, he wants you.
Yeah, and he's got the finger right out there. And you're like, I know how to put that to use.
And I've never dated or married anyone who didn't want me.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good rule. That's a good rule.
Thank you.
Start, because I think, to be really serious, I think a lot of people find themselves in relationships where they're not appreciated, they're not loved, they're not wanted. And you need to find someone who wants you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Unfortunately, I cannot reciprocate those feelings because I feel nothing.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to want the other person.
Yeah.
As long as it's one way and that way is going towards you, bada bing, bada boom, mm-hmm. baby, you're at Buca de Beppo's now.
I am?
Yeah.
You could be if it's a date.
I'm very hungry.
We're trying to open a franchise.
Yeah, it's the only way we can get this podcast to make any money.
No.
Is if we can open a restaurant inside the studio.
Yeah, Colin and I, he's using his yacht experience and...
And what are you bringing to the table?
I'm supervising. Now, Neil, I did want to ask a quick question. You said this was an essay.
No, it's a book of essays.
It's a book of essays.
That's
so was
a single
this one
essay.
Of your...
Yes.
Is it... I guess my question is it nonfiction? When I hear essays, I'm thinking...
Ah, I see what's happening.
Yeah, I guess like what
I
genre?
I see what this
what
question
genre
is.
We're trying to get you.
I see
we're
what
trying to get
finger,
you.
Your finger you're trying to wiggle around in my wounds, okay. my emotional wounds.
Yeah, it's not Uncle Sam's I want you finger. Yeah,
it's Michael
you're
Sam's.
You're wondering if I watched... A 14-year-old boy's testicle fly from his skin pouch onto the ground and unroll, and maybe a rat nibbled it at some point.
Yes, this is what we're wondering.
Yeah, in more or less words, yeah.
And here's what I'll say to you. What do you think happened?
That's the worst answer we could have gotten to this.
Yeah.
And that
and
is why I'm never invited back
ambiguity.
Anywhere.
okay. For the record, I will say, yes, I do think it happened in real life.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I will say, no, I don't, because she was so ready to change it to Edward Scissorhorns. And then that's a totally different story, you know?
It's pretty much the same thing.
But the minute you change it, it's...
Oh my god, the hole in your body.
Oh, your stomach flap.
Nope, that's just a couple intestines.
Put
let me get
those
back,
back
in.
Inside
Sorry,
you.
When Jesus. I sneeze, everything goes all akimbo. So let
Truly
me just...
body parts erupting out of people's...
Could you hand me that spleen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Boop.
And where does that go? Okay, I'll just tuck it in there and I'll put it back in
its
right
place. That's
where
the kidney goes.
So I was going to say, the minute you change one thing, it's no longer fiction.
Who told you that?
It's no longer nonfiction.
Who told you that?
I guess it was probably my parents who were Emily Dickinson and Walt Whitman.
What?
Not the ones you know.
Oh, that would be crazy, though.
Those are their stage names.
What are their real names?
Mom and Dad.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Those are names you grow into.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They kind of took that upon themselves.
Yeah.
I guess. I have another question. As an author, what is the difference between erotica and filthy smut?
Ah, this is a great question.
Thank you.
And this is what I'm going to answer with. What do you think?
Okay. Now, I feel like you're just sort of poisoning this question, posing it to the room.
Also poisoning the room.
And you're poisoning
the room with my question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because now it's like it's thrown back to us. So it says, you know, but you want to see what we know. Or you don't know and you don't want to answer.
I love talking to you.
Okay. Now, see, that's the kind of compliment that's going to get me to answer for you. And just say that I would say erotica is focused on the expression and the experience of reading, while filthy smut is just focused on purely the reader's sexual urges.
Well, I will say that American Gods, the book of essays, is mostly tales of young people either about to have sex or having sex or just had sex or maybe will have sex or and it's I find it sells very well, not just because of my name, but because people can't actually watch child pornography.
Okay, gosh. I was going to say, why children? But it seems like you're trying to corner a market. So this, that sounds pretty
this
bad.
This is well thought out that you're absolutely. This is a workaround because it is illegal.
Because
it's illegal to watch and own child pornography.
Yeah.
You found a workaround that you can write fiction that is essentially child pornography.
Absolutely.
And people.
People put it together in their minds.
And they can't get mad at you.
Hey, Colin, should we release this episode? Or this is pretty bad.
No,
stuff.
No, no. This is very incriminating for us too.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean,
not.
I know we had her on, and we didn't know that we were going to have this person. But
now,
I'm like, what?
When I was reading that to you,
did
your minds play a filthy movie of underage lovers?
Well, I have no imagination because it got removed by Gilbert Gottfried accidentally.
And when I, whenever. Because I don't want to get stuck in this. I don't want to get caught in this trap. So whenever I hear that there are children in stories.
Or really, anybody.
I just imagine Glenn Close and Bill Pullman.
Colin kind of goes the other way. Whenever he imagines anything sexual, he imagines old people.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I feel bad for both of you. You can't enjoy your imaginations. Everyone should be feel free to think about young children in any sort of position.
I think we'd like to publicly condemn both you and the exploitation of children for sexual nature.
There are no real children. They're not real.
I just feel like you're servicing a part of the population that really should just be cut off.
But let me ask you this. What do you think?
Okay.
Yeah, I will also say that, like, when we asked you, what's the difference between erotica and filthy smut, you just threw the question back to us to answer. But when given the opportunity to state that you found a workaround for child pornography, you are happy to give an answer.
I think you're jealous. I think you both are jealous of me.
No.
And my very smart brain and my terrible writing and my name and everything else. That's what I think.
I am jealous of your name. I'll say that.
Mm.
But that's about it. Because you know what? I've got a rich sensual sense of myself. And I have fantasies. Yeah, I'll share one with you right now if you want. Do you want to hear it?
What do you think?
Okay, so... Just to prove that I have an imagination, I'm not stifled. I don't need to read somebody's book. This is the one fantasy that I have.
And just to point out, and Michael does this at parties where he will just be like, just to prove I have an imagination.
Hey, everybody, shut up!
I'm going to tell you about a sexual fantasy I have. He does this a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. So anyway,
Michael, ride a Subway car with me. At parties?
Mm-hmm.
Bring it from home?
If it's not there, I'll go back home, get my stash, come back, and hide in the corner.
Michael, please prove to us that you have an imagination.
And then, of course, Colin will follow it up with his ultimate sex fantasy. So, it's 8 p.m. on a Tuesday. The library just closed. And guess what? I'm still inside.
Uh-oh.
And I was talking earlier to the librarian, and she's so tall. She's just tall enough that her head is scraping the ceiling of the library. She's actually, it's a problem. A lot of what we talked about is like, is that okay? And she's like, no, it's hard for me. My body doesn't work. No one's supposed to be this tall.
And also, she can't style her hair the way she wants if she wants it large.
A comb is you know, useless. She needs to use a rake. So I know she's in this library somewhere. And it's just me and her. And so I go to find her.
But if she's so tall, you can't hear her footsteps?
So that's the thing. It's dead silent. So I'm like, sorry. I gotta find her. She probably got her head stuck in the fan again. It wraps around her hair, and then she's stuck there as
sexy.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to help her out, and then we're going to do a big smooch. So I'm about to find her at the whole library to ourselves, nothing but books and the moonlight streaming in, and somebody's there's an album playing, and the album's prog rock from the 70s. I love music. And I'm about to find her, and then I trip in the children's section, and I land on a beanbag chair. Dick first. And I pierce the beanbag chair, and I instantly achieve orgasm. Mm-hmm. The elusive male orgasm. And that's it for me. I'm
leaving,
done.
leaving it all inside the beanbag chair?
No, I burn the chair. Oh. I burn the library. I run out. The library burns. The librarian who was in there, yeah, she mm-hmm. actually does die. Mm-hmm. And that's my one and ultimate fantasy.
Whoa.
And I wish I could have steered it away from the children's section, but that's just where the beanbag chairs are.
Absolutely. There's
but
always...
don't read into that. The kids are not there. Library's closed.
You know what's my ultimate fantasy? It's your fantasy, except children watched you.
No, this is bad. My parents listen to this podcast.
You have parents, mom and dad?
Yeah.
Emily Dickinson and Walt Whitman?
They're listening now.
Yeah, and Michael's parents, who I wish were my parents, listen to this podcast. Come on.
Colin's parents got lost at sea.
Yeah.
On a yacht that sunk mysteriously.
Huh.
So, Colin, what's your ultimate sexual fantasy?
You want to hear my ultimate sexual fantasy?
Yes, please. On mic.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Oh, it's on mic?
Yeah,
who's mic?
This
one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
on. This one's on me.
Yeah.
This one's on me. I'll pay for it.
So here's my ultimate sexual fantasy.
Oh, boy.
You ready for this? Missionary style with literally anyone.
A child?
Oh, he did say literally anyone.
No, you can't.
Okay, Colin, we gotta do another take. Just quickly, can you amend it to literally anyone over a certain age? We can't because Colin,
we've
been sued by the FCC so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's probably maybe a good time to mention this podcast has accidentally somehow found its way into the children's section of podcasts. And so we really gotta stop.
Well, great, because they need to know.
No, it's not
they
great.
They need to be exposed to like what the world has.
No, okay. So I'm just really quickly. Missionary style with literally anyone over the age of 18.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
High five, Colin.
You're so boring.
That rocks.
No way.
No,
that rocks.
It's good.
That's a real cool sexual fantasy.
Over 18, but then they unzip their skin and it was a child in a 22-year-old's skin.
You know, normally we do a lot of questions about like, hey, when did you start writing? What was your childhood like? Like, what was your life? I don't really think I want to know anything about you.
Nope. No, you do not.
What I will say is...
this is the best part about me.
So now I will say that
I'm going to call the cops.
Don't.
I'm going
to
call
this
the cops.
Now there was a line in your essay that that stuck out to me when you said, now when I smell teenage boys.
Mm.
So now that line is very concerning. Are you still smelling teenage boys?
Not now. There's none around.
Yeah, there's none in here.
There's a couple of two blocks down.
Oh, no.
I don't like this.
We
got to
close the windows.
Oh,
I can smell them through the walls.
I guess what I would say is you're despicable. Your writing was confusing and scary.
You're welcome.
And I think you are a criminal who is doing terrible things to society.
Did you know that I'm also a millionaire?
What?
Because I sell so many books. Because everyone confuses me with Neil Gaiman. So I don't give a fuck about what either of you think.
So you might be tarnishing the name of Neil Gaiman.
Nah.
So you're just some millionaire who can do whatever they want.
I wasn't born a millionaire.
No, I guess you did earn this money. And if there's one thing Colin and I respect, it's
earning money, yeah. It's if people get money fair and square through hard work and... yeah, so I guess I do respect you, which it pains me to say, but I guess I do respect you.
I guess that brings us to our last question. Can we have some of that money?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! No, Answer is no.
Oh, shoot. That one had an answer.
No, okay. No.
All right.
Huh.
But can I join that yacht club that you work for?
Yeah.
Do they take women?
They do, but what like my Jews? my sort of like my word doesn't go very far there, but I can try.
No, I'll flash some cash.
Okay.
I can get you third row at a yacht concert.
I'll take it.
Okay, great. Bada bing, bada boom. Now you're Buca de Beppos. Well, Neil Gaiman, I'd say thank you so much for coming on the podcast, but I think this might be our last now.
I can't wait to return. Thank you so much.
We're going to have to go on the road. Wait, did we accidentally already book you for another?
Yeah, you did.
Shit. Oh, Michael, yeah, we
booked me 4 weeks in a row.
Well, because we were so excited, we thought we had Neil Gaiman, Michael.
We were like
would you come back? Would you like to be a regular on the series?
Yeah, Seek Treatment does like 3-part episodes all the time, and those are gangbusters.
God damn it.
And we accidentally booked a pedophile for 4 episodes.
No, I'm not saying I get, now I don't get turned on.
Are we opening this back up again?
I don't get turned on by
You know what, I just have to say, I can't believe you turned such a nice story about cutting open a teenager's testicles into such a terrible, terrible discussion.
It's like I can't watch Annie Hall anymore because I know the person who made it's a real freak.
Everybody's got an opinion.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.